Greetings, it is I, the Great One himself. This is part two of a series in the book discussion about the book Date-onomics, How Dating Became a Lopsided Numbers Game by John, whose last name I can't pronounce correctly. I don't know how many parts will be in this series, because first part I managed to cover first four fucking pages, and I have two pages of notes, so we could be here for a while, but you know what? It's like sex. It's better when it takes longer. Sometimes. Sometimes you just want to get straight to it. Just, you know, bust the nut, shoot her in her face, slap her, and then sit there, go cook me some fucking pie. And other times you want it to last for a long time. You can scream and shout with all your might. You can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan. Look for a safe space because you need a trigger warning. Yes, you can shove your opinions up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. Yes, you are wrong, and I am right. Oh, God, it burns, doesn't it? It burns. Oh, the fucking pain. Do you need a safe space? I bet you need a safe space. I bet you do. I bet you need a safe space right about now. Because I am the Great One himself. I am right. I'm always right. I've always been right. I will always be right. I am never wrong. And this is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched a cruise missile on my intellect. A cruise missile that moves in on and destroys motherfucking whiny ass little fucking statist all over the goddamn planet. Femistatist, statheist, homo statist, GLBTKKK statist. It doesn't matter. Right wing statist, left wing statist. Any kind of fucking statist you are, I will just muck and make fun of. But he's gonna build the road. Taxation isn't theft. Taxation is legal. I heard that the other day from somebody. I read it somewhere. Mariah. It said, taxation isn't theft. Taxation is legal. Well, slavery was legal. Fucking concentration camps where they gassed the fucking Jews. That was legal. Shut the fuck up. It's not theft. It's legal. Number one fucking indicator. There are many of them, but a number one indicator that you are dealing with somebody who should be dead is when somebody equates that which is legal with that which is right, and that which is illegal with that which is wrong, right? You know, why is it wrong to do drugs? Well, drugs are illegal. Those are two completely different fucking things. And people who cannot distinguish the one from the other, people who convolute legal with right and illegal with wrong, if those people right there were all exterminated, we as a species would almost instantly achieve ancapidice if you just killed off people who actually believe that shit. Those are the people who believe that legal means right and illegal means wrong are the most damaging people in our society to freedom, into logic, and to progress. Anyway, I am the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. Today is 29th of March, 2016. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. We are talking about the book entitled Date-onomics, How Dating Became a Lopsided Numbers Game by John B-I-R-G-E-R. Burger. Maybe it's Burger? I don't know. Yeah, since I'm gonna stop embarrassing myself by trying to pronounce words I can't pronounce. This is part two in the series. That was me taking a drink of water to deal with it. We are on now page 11, reading the first full paragraph. All right, so what do we got here? I realize that most people do not want to think about supply and demand when contemplating matters of the heart. Right, especially if they're women, because women cannot think about supply and demand because women don't understand supply and demand. It's like math and it's like logic. Their brains are not geared to deal with this kind of stuff, right? The female brain, remember, only has two compartments in it. One compartment is for shopping, preferably with somebody else's money, and the other compartment they don't use. The idea that gender ratios influence whom we date, love, and have sex with is disconcerting. Really, why is that disconcerting? The supply and demand affects almost every aspect of our life. Why would it be disconcerting that this would affect who we date, love, and have sex with? I mean, this is just reality. Oh shit, I forgot. Reality was created by the patriarchy to oppress women and homosexuals and trannies. Ah, oh, god damn it. Fuck. Trigger warning. All right. Excuse me. So, too, is the notion that college admissions offices are unwittingly pushing some women into promiscuity and dooming others to spinsterhood. Spinsterhood! I ran this by my single 20-something friend, Julia Bolton. Considering he's changed everybody's names for their protection, why is it necessary to give all these women who have changed names like a full name? Why is it Julia Bolton? Why doesn't he just call her Julia? It's not her name. Fucking, what a loser. I ran this by my single 20-something friend Julia, a Georgetown University grad, and got the following reaction. Quote, meh, 56 to 44 doesn't seem like a statistically significant difference between genders so as to single-handedly account for why there's a rise in the hookup culture, unquote. No, of course it doesn't, because you have a hole between your legs and you bleed from it and you can't do math because you don't understand what 56 women for every 44 men actually means. Okay, when I pointed out to Julia that 56 to 44 ratio means 27% more women than men, or 5 women for every 4 men, she got annoyed. Of course she got annoyed, because you're doing math. You see, math was created by the patriarchy to oppress women, because women are so strong and independent, they could do anything. You go, girl. And math just oppresses them. She cannot understand what you're saying because you're not talking about feelings or shopping. What I pointed out to her was she got annoyed. Quote, this is true, but do you really buy that? I absolutely don't buy the idea that women are putting out because there are more of them, and if they don't put out, they'll just get passed over for mating. That's just reductionist. Unquote. No, that's called supply and demand, which you cannot understand because there's a hole between your legs. Again, women, math, economics, supply and demand, they can't, I went to college, I deserve a good man. No, you don't. No, no, you don't, Julia. And she's gonna be a fucking cat lady. I can tell you that right now, because she's sitting here arguing with math. All right, page 19, first full paragraph. Long term, the only way to fix the man deficit is by increasing the number of boys attending college. Again, see, the problem here, I talked about this in the first part of the series, the thesis of the book is that ultimately the problem is that there are not enough college-educated men for the college-educated women, and therefore men need to be fixed. Right, here it is. Long term, the only way to fix the man deficit is by increasing the number of boys attending college. Or we could decrease the number of women attending college. Or the women could lower their fucking standards. Or the women could all just become lesbians. I mean, a woman needs a fucking man like a fish needs a bicycle anyway, right? What's the big fucking deal? Okay, now my voice is going out. Hang on. Yeah. Yes, let me just cough right all over the microphone. Fucking asshole. No, the only way to fix the man deficit is not by forcing more men to... And why would more men want to go to college? First of all, college, in many cases, is a toxic environment for men. Men go to college, they're told about how they're rapist. They're told about the patriarchy, how they're oppression. I mean, Jesus Christ, why in the fuck should men go into that environment to get a college diploma just to make some fucking bitch happy? Just so that the men can become worthy of marrying these 41 fucking year old women who can't find a boyfriend. Why? Why are men supposed to go to college in order to make themselves worthy of these women? Why? Oh, we know the answer, because fucking throughout their entire lives, women have had everything given to them by men. And sitting here, well, there's not enough men for us to marry. So men are supposed to change what they do and why they do it and how they do it, just to make women happy. Boy, the fucking patriarchy, huh? Yeah, you know, these fucking whores are really fucking oppressed. Why? Why are men expected? And we know the answer. No, again, just notice the premise here. Men need to change who they are and what they do so that they can become what women want them to be. What about what men want to be? What if they don't want to go to college? What if they want to teach themselves computer programming? What if they want to be plumbers? What if they want to be farmers? What if they want to write books? But no, you see, what men want doesn't fucking matter to the goddamn fucking femistatist cunts and the femisimps and the beta males. What men want for their own life, it's their fucking life. No, the men are supposed to go to college so that they can become what women want, so that women can live the life they want to live. And the hell with the men. The hell with what these men want. Page 29, moving forth. Last page. Oh, God. So it's a bunch of blah, blah, blah. And some blah, blah, blah. Hang on. All right. I'm going to read the whole paragraph just to give it a little context. There is no question that the passage of Title IX in the United States helped remove barriers for female college applicants. However, the surge in female college enrollment cannot be explained primarily by Title IX, simply because the man deficit is not a uniquely American phenomenon. Women in other developed countries, Australia, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, France, Hungary, Israel, Italy, New Zealand, New Zealand, Spain, not Swain, that's a different country, Spain, Sweden, and the United Kingdom, etc., also attend college at much greater numbers than men. Yes, but you know what'll help with that? Is importing Muslim rapists. Because maybe these women can't find a college graduate, maybe they could, you know, marry a Muslim rapist. Wouldn't that be great? In England, 36% more women than men were accepted into four-year colleges in 2014. They, too, find themselves confronted by a post-college dating market in which men hold much of the leverage. Quote, "It's wall-to-wall assholes out there," unquote. One 30-something Australian woman complained to a columnist from the Sydney Morning Herald. Quote, "I'm horrified by the number of gorgeous, independent, and successful women my age who can't meet a decent man." Unquote. Once again, look, you've got this 30-year-old woman and her self-evaluation. All these single women are gorgeous, independent, and successful. Okay, first of all, you're not as gorgeous as you think you are. Second of all, you can't meet any men, but you're independent. Well, maybe that's part, and then you're successful, which, as I've explained in part one, men don't give a fuck about your success. Men don't give a fuck about your career, okay? The reason that you gorgeous, independent, successful cunts are all single is because you're not as good looking as you think you are. You're starting to get old, and again, 30-year-old men are dating 22-year-old girls. They're not looking to date 30-year-old women, okay? And also because you have your standards where any man you're gonna go out with better have a college education. He better be 6'1", or you're not going out with him. Yet, the reason you are single isn't because men aren't good enough for you. The reason you're single is because you're a dumb cunt. It's because you've spent your life building skills, attributes that men don't give a fuck about. It's because you've sunk all your time into your fucking career. Men don't give a shit. And again, it's because you have the unrealistic standards, college education and 6'1". I can't date a man who's shorter than me. See, you can't date a man who's shorter than you. You can't date a man who doesn't have a college education. You can't date a man who doesn't make more money than you do. Golly gee willikers. You've fucking narrowed the pool down, because all the men out there, as I said in part one of this, the men out there who are over 6'1", who do have the college education, and who do make more money than you, do not want to date you. They are dating women younger than you because they can. This is not hard, okay? This didn't really need an entire book. I mean, this is like 3 paragraphs. But again, the book is good. If you're jumping in and you didn't listen to part one, first of all, why? Go listen to part one. But the book is really good, and I do recommend that you read the book. Lots of good empirical data in here. All right, page 31, last full paragraph. Page 33, first full paragraph. All right, let's do this. Wait a minute. No, okay, all right. La 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 la, 31, last full paragraph. There's only one full paragraph on the page, moron, where I write these notes. Okay. The contraceptive pill was first introduced in 1960. And by the end of the decade, it had morphed into a pharmaceutical and social phenomena, landing on the cover of Time magazine in 1967. Oral contraceptives, otherwise known as swallowing instead of spitting, oh, nice. Oral contraceptives gave women control. That was pretty good, actually. I kind of like that one. Oral contraceptives. Swallow, don't spit. Okay. Hold on, I gotta write that down. I'm gonna forget it. Oral contraceptive. Swallow, don't spit. Oh man, trigger warning. I'm sure there's a safe space someplace that you can go right now. Hey, maybe that's what you European women should be using when Muslims are raping you, right? Some oral contraceptives. Anyway, oral contraceptives gave women control over family planning and allowed them to delay marriage and spend more time in the workforce. Okay. Quote, the widespread legality and acceptance of the pill as a birth control device allowed young women to plan their futures more accurately and also helped facilitate a large increase in the age at first marriage, unquote, Golden and her co-authors wrote in something. Delayed marriage and childbearing allowed greater investment in careers. Again, notice that right here we're admitting it. Okay. Delaying marriage, delaying having children, allowed greater investment in careers and thus in higher educations as well. Okay, yes, this is the point I've been making. Women, when they're young, instead of using their youth and beauty to find a good man, are squandering their youth and beauty. And I know, shut up. I'm not talking about your emotions. We're talking about reality. We're talking about biology. Okay? I know that you think men are supposed to be as attracted to 41-year-old women with college educations and careers as they are to 25-year-old women. They're not. Almost every man out there, given the choice, will take the 25-year-old chick over the 41-year-old chick. Women spending their youth on going to college and getting a job. And then they wonder why, when they're 41 years old, they can't find a man to marry them. Because no man wants to marry a 41-year-old woman. Racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. I know, but this is the truth. Okay? I'm not Oprah. This is the fucking truth. Delayed marriage and childbearing allowed greater investment in careers and thus in higher education as well. In economic terms, the pill lowered the true cost of attending college by increasing the likelihood that a college degree would pay financial dividends in the future. No, but it also raised the cost of attending college if your ultimate goal is to get married, because the more time a woman spends going to college working on her career, the harder it's going to be for her to find a man, you know, coupled with waiting until she's 41, coupled with only dating men who are 6'1", coupled with expecting the man to have more college or as much college as she does, coupled with expecting the man to make more money. Yeah, you're not lowering the true cost of attending college. You're raising the cost of attending college if you desire to get married and have children at some point in the future. Again, this what another thing women and fucking femisimps can't figure out is that things, good, bad, right, wrong, good decision, bad decision, these things are conditional on what you're trying to achieve, okay? If you want to get married and have children and have a monogamous, evil, 50s-like heterosexual relationship and live in a house with a man and raise your children, right, riding the cock carousel, snorting cocaine, covering yourself in tattoos and piercings, those things are not going to help you achieve that end. Now, if you just, you're not interested in ever getting married, you don't ever want to have kids, right? If you're going to be, and I'm not, again, this is not a joke. I'm not saying either of these is right, wrong, good, bad, okay? If you're not intending to get married, if you're okay with having multiple sex partners throughout your entire life, you don't want to become permanently attached to one person, you don't want to have children with one person, and you want to ride the cock carousel, that's fine. It's completely cool, but you cannot ride the cock carousel and get married and have kids. You cannot get married and have kids, but spend the first 40 years of your life going to college, working on your career, and then say, I'm only going to date a man if he's 6'1", and he has a college education, and he makes more money than I do. I mean, you can, but you have shrunk your dating pool so fucking small, but oh my God, that's math. That's supply and demand. That's economics. You can't understand that because there's a hole between your legs, and that's you have titties, and that's patriarchy, and you're being oppressed. And so you just keep living in your little fucking fantasy world, and you expect men to fix it for you. Hey, the widespread... How far am I going again? I'm going all the way, motherfuckers. All the way. Oh, yeah. I go all the way on the first date. The widespread, just ask your mom, the widespread popularity of the pill helps explain why women caught up to men in college enrollment. Maybe. Yet, it cannot explain why women blew right by men over the ensuing 30 years, with women now graduating from today's college in 34% greater numbers. Now, I can explain that. It's because college has become feminized. It's because college has become this safe space. It's because college has not only become more oriented towards women, but college has, and yes, I'm generalizing, and yes, it's, you know, there are colleges that are exceptions, blah, 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 blah. Overall, college has become a more hostile environment to men. Again, as we know, men go to college. What are they told? They're told they're patriarchy, that they are oppressors, that they are rapists, that they need to atone, and all this. men, why would men want to go into that environment? More importantly, why would men want to pay money to go into that environment if they can avoid it? And since many men can become electricians, plumbers, since they can teach themselves coding, since they can start their own businesses, why? Why go to college? Why spend a bunch of money to submit yourself to being humiliated by people who are your intellectual inferiors? Why spend money to go to college to be told you're a rapist when you can just go on YouTube and for free watch videos telling you that because you're a heterosexual white man, you're a rapist? Why pay money for something you can get for free, or more important, that you can just live without? From today's vantage point, it appears that the old disincentives and discrimination confronting high school girls obscured a biological truth, obscured a fundamental biological truth. Girls have a developmental advantage when it comes to college preparation. Girls mature earlier, sure they do, behaviorally and intellectually, and thus get better grades in school, spend more time on homework, have fewer disciplinary problems, and are less prone to criminality, and are 2 to 3 times less likely to be diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactive disorder. Okay, now there's a lot that can be packed into that sentence. When we say that girls mature earlier, in a sense they do, in senses they don't necessarily. Behaviorally, intellectually, sure, sort of, kind of. Thus, they get better grades in school. Okay, is getting better grades in school a good thing? Well, let's see. Public schools, again, are feminized. Public schools are set up to cater to the female mentality. Sit at a desk, do stupid shit, right? Boys want to move around. Boys want to build things. Boys want to take things apart. Boys and girls. Excuse me. And of course, what we have here is when we say that boys and girls are different, the feminists all freak out. Yet, of course, here are being told, remember, boys and girls being different is okay when the girls are superior, right? But of course, boys and girls are different. Why? Girls mature earlier, behaviorally and intellectually. They get better grades in school. They spend more time on homework. They have fewer disciplinary problems. Okay, if you're going to make those assertions, then obviously, yes, boys and girls must be different. The reason girls get better grades in school is because the school environment is organized towards the female mind. They spend more time on homework. Well, why does homework exist? Why don't they do the fucking work in school? Their time at home, maybe that should be time with their parents. Maybe boys don't want to do homework because boys fucking have shit to do, right? Boys want to ride their bikes. Boys want to play. Boys want to build things. Like, girls, I'm going to sit here and do homework all day long. Oh my God. You know, and again, then you wonder why you can't find a fucking man when you're 40 years old. I don't know, maybe a little less time doing homework? A little more time talking to boys? They're less prone to criminality. No, but, well, criminality, depending on how we define criminality, considering how many things are illegal, I don't know necessarily that boys do more illegal things than women, but women are certainly more prone to emotional blackmail. I notice we don't mention that about women. And they're 2 to 3 times less likely to be diagnosed with ADHD. Well, yes, because they're completely content to sit in a chair and do nothing all day, whereas boys aren't. And as we know, there's no such thing as ADHD. ADHD is simply, when I was young, ADHD was called bad parenting. Right, ADHD means that the child has a personality, and the personality the child has is inconvenient for the parents or the teachers or the parents and the teachers, and so they dope the child so the child becomes stupid and the parents and the teachers don't have to do any actual fucking work, because God forbid you have to do any work to raise children or educate children. We can't have that, because this would inconvenient the public school system teachers, who are mostly women. And we cannot inconvenience. Remember, what is the directive of United States of America culture, the directive of our culture is that no white woman must ever experience discomfort. And if you've got a white woman teaching the class and she's got a student in there and the student has a penis and he has a personality, this might cause her some discomfort. You're going to have to drug that kid so that she does not feel any discomfort. And if you're not willing to do that, you are a motherfucking misogynist. You hate women. Girls and boys may score comparably on intelligence tests. Actually, they don't. Again, we know the bell curve of IQs. We know that women are more grouped in the center, whereas men are spread. So the least intelligent people in our society, men, specifically, let's go ahead and just offend everybody. White men, we know. Caucasians and Asians, highest IQs. I know you're offended. I don't give a fuck. I talked about this a while back, just in, sort of in passing because I didn't have any data. Since then, I've done a little bit of research on it. So far, every piece of information I have found, every piece that breaks IQ down by race has shown the same thing. Every fucking source I have found on this. Asians and Caucasians are the smartest. Black and brown, not as smart. Again, we're talking about the average bug. I'm not saying there's no black people with an IQ of 130. Not saying that. We're talking about averages. We're talking about the bell curves plotted next to each other. You can fucking get your feelings hurt. Trigger warning, safe space, suck a dick. Okay? These are facts. Same thing, men versus women. With men, the bell curve is flatter. We got more people on the really dumb side. We got more people on the really smart side. With women, the bell curve is taller. Women are more grouped around the middle. So no, girls and boys do not score comparatively on intelligence tests. But it's nice of you to try. But because of maturity differences, girls fare better when it comes to actual schoolwork. Yes, because schoolwork is boring. And it involves sitting in a desk and writing shit on a piece of paper. And again, boys, because boys and girls are different. I know, patriarchy. Boys and girls are different. Boys like to be active. They like to be doing things with their hands. I'm not talking about masturbating, although, yes, boys like to do that. A 2000 study led by Washington University neuroscientist Andre Anokhin? The hell was that? A-N-O-K-H-I-N. Found that girls' brains were more mature than boys' brains from age 7 to 17, and that the difference widened into the teen years. But again, now the feminist fetus will tell you, there's no difference. There's no such thing as a boy brain and a girl brain. Really? That's odd, because these people claim there is. Holy shit. Hold on. This has nothing to do with you guys. I'm getting a... Alright. Fucking cell phone. 2000 study, blah blah blah. The girls' a brain more mature, brains age 7 to 17, and the difference widened into the teen years. University of Michigan... Michigan... Michigan. Sorry, frozen what Michigan. University of Michigan education professor Brian Jacob found in 2002 that girls' more advanced social skills, specifically their superior ability to pay attention in class, to work with others, and to organize and keep track of homework, contributed heavily to the gender gap in college enrollment. Yes, again, because these things are all geared towards female skills, right? Women evolved as the fucking nest builders. Women evolved interacting with other people and talking about feelings and fucking taking care of the nest and all this other shit. Men evolved to be hunters. We have different skill sets. Notice how all these skill sets the women have are portrayed as being positive, whereas the skill sets men have are either being ignored or being portrayed as being negative, right? Boys are more likely to have ADHD, which is another thing. Boys are more likely to want to get the fuck up and actually do things instead of sitting around theorizing all about it all day. Why? Because women like to talk about their feelings and talk and talk and talk and talk, and so that's good. But boys don't want to talk. Boys want to get up and accomplish. And that's bad, so we're going to put them on drugs. Superior parents, in fact, work with others, organize and keep track of homework, contribute heavily to the gender gap in college enrollment. 2012, 70% of U.S. high school valedictorians were girls, according to news reports. Again, who gives a shit? So it means they're really good at doing shit that doesn't matter. 70% of high school valedictorians were girls. Who gives a shit? Being a high school valedictorian, Victorian, however you fucking say the word, how does that translate into anything? How does that create value for other people? How does that translate into money? How does that translate into making the world a better place? How does that translate into designing computer software? How does that translate into providing clean water for people in Africa? How does that translate into anything of value for anyone? It doesn't. It has no fucking use to anyone on the fucking planet Earth. Oprah told me I could be anything. Anything. I feel so good. Oh, my feels! 2004, government survey out of the United Kingdom found that 78% of girls age 11 to 16 completed all of their homework regularly versus only 61% of boys. Again, why is this a good thing? So you're saying that 78% of girls 11 to 16 are really good at being conformist. They're really good at... Have we talked about how 100% of women electrocuted puppies when they were told to do so? Because women are so good at conforming to what authority figures tell them? I mean, this is what you're saying. Women are better than men at conforming to authority figure demands. 78% of girls completed all their homework, but only 61% of boys did. Only 61% of boys totally 100% conformed to the external wishes of authority figures. Gosh, there must be something wrong with boys. A 2013 study by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control found that 15% of high school boys received ADHD diagnosis versus 7% for girls. A diagnosis rate so over the top that some researchers, oh my god, really, some researchers believe simple immaturity is now being misdiagnosed as ADHD. Yeah, there's no fucking such thing. Every diagnosis of ADHD is a misdiagnosis because ADHD doesn't fucking exist. Quote, there's a tremendous push where if the kid's behavior is thought to be quote-unquote abnormal, if they're not sitting quietly at their desk, that's pathological instead of just childhood, unquote. Jermone Groopman said, a professor at Harvard Medical School, told New York Times. Yes, that's what I and many other people have been saying for a really long time. There is no ADHD, there is just kids being normal. For Golan and her co-authors, the bottom line was clear. Oh, I bet it is. Quote, because gender differences in development and behavior are not unique to any particular country, they explain why the reversal of the gender gap in college has occurred throughout much of the developed world once female access to college and labor market opportunities were improved. Unquote. Boys' slower development relative to girls hints at one way to reduce the man deficit. More on that in the final chapter. Yes, again, see, because boys mature slower, this gives us an idea how we can improve boys to make them better for women. Because everything fucking revolves around women. Because we need to change boys and men so that they are more suitable for women. Patriarchy. Page 34, first full paragraph. To the end of the page. Of course, if economics and biology are behind the college gender gap, and not some type of reversal discrimination against men, because, oh no, there couldn't possibly be any reverse discrimination against men. Men, of course, have engaged in discrimination against women since Adam and Eve, since fucking evolution ever started, but no, there couldn't possibly be any reverse discrimination. No. No, of course not. No. No. And just to be clear, I need a drink of water. Not like you give a shit. Just to be clear, it's both. Part of it is certainly biology, and part of it is discrimination. And not necessarily overt discrimination. Some of it is overt discrimination. Right, telling freshman college men that they are rapists and all this other shit, that is overt discrimination. There is clandestine discrimination. There's discrimination, again, in the system, where the system is geared towards the female mentality. Sit in the chair, write on the piece of paper, don't talk. You know, interact with a group, talk about your feelings. So there's that form of discrimination. And then there is biology. All three of those things contribute to why there are more women going to college and graduating from college than men. It's not just one thing. And not some type of reverse discrimination against men, it begs the question of whether the college gender gap is actually a problem in need of a solution. In other words, should we even care that fewer men attend women than college? When I posed this question to Golden, her answer was an emphatic no. Quote, I don't see any obvious reason to worry about it. There aren't any impediments or hurdles or barriers or prejudices or discriminatory factors or regulations standing in the way of men going to college, unquote, Golden said. Other than, of course, you know, Title IX, other than, of course, being told they're rapist, sexist, homophobic, other than all of the discrimination thrown out against heterosexual white men who want to go to college so they can get a job and work for a living. Other than all that discrimination, no, there's no discrimination. Bernice Sandler, the celebrated women's rights advocate who was the driving force behind the passage of Title IX, gave me much the same answer. Quote, no, the idea of college is to educate people, unquote, Sandler told me. Quote, when you choose between people to come to college, you choose the people who are most likely to benefit from it, unquote. Sandler went so far as to cast doubt on the notion that female-heavy gender ratios have any negative impact on college life. Quote, students don't notice the difference. In a large college, you're never going to know that there are more women than men, unquote, Sandler said. As we will soon see, Sandler is a fucking dumb cunt. Yes, the gender ratios have, as John, whose last name I can't pronounce correctly, empirically shows in this book with a thing called data, more women means more casual boys. If you're listening, you can stop listening after I tell you this. The more women at the college, the greater the hookup culture. The more women at the college, the more likely you will, the greater your chances of fucking multiple women and lots of women. If you are a boy, you're going to college, number one thing you need to look at is the gender ratio. If there's a place, more women than men is what you're looking for. The more women than men, the better for you. The more you will be able to pick and choose who you want to go out with, the faster they will spread their legs. And you may say, well, they're all, and you know, and if you're looking for woman for marriage material, I think this still holds true. Now, in that case, you may not want to go to a place where it's like 70% women, 30% men, because with that much of a ratio imbalance, almost all the women are going to be total whores. But you want to go someplace where it's like 55% women, 45% men, because the women there are going to be a little whorier, but not completely maybe cock carousel, and so you stand a better chance of finding a good quality woman. Or, of course, you just graduate from college, and once you're out of college, you get a job. Okay, I just figured this out. Boys, here's the advice to you. You can do what you want. This is what I'm saying. Go to the college with the highest ratio of women to men, so that you can just be the cock carousel, you can fuck all these women. Also, once you graduate, then you want to move to a college town that has a more balanced ratio. Because remember, you're going to be out of college. Let's say you're going to have your job. So let's say you spent 8 years getting a degree. So you're going to be, what, 26? And you're 26 years old. Who are you going to be banging? You're going to be dating and having sex with girls who are 20, 21, 22. So you want to move to a college town where there's lots of 20, 21, 22-year-old girls, and you want it to be a little more women than men, so that the women aren't all prudy and shit. And then that's where you're going to be able to find a quality woman that you can fucking settle down with and marry, if that is your goal, is to find a woman and get married. That's how I think you should play this. So yes, despite what this dumb cunt Bernice Sandler thinks, no, the gender ratios, again, as he shows in the book, with numbers, math, patriarchy, oppression, he shows the fucking data. He pretty solidly throws down enough empirical data here that there's no arguing with this shit, people. No fucking arguing with it. More women means sluttier behavior on the part of the women. Fewer women than men means the men have to fucking man up, the men have to do all the work, and the women are less likely to put out. And it's called supply and demand, and women cannot understand it. That's why Bernice Sandler doesn't think it's real, because she's a dumb fucking cunt. Alright, let's move on. Page 53. What am I reading here? Oh, this is a long one. Page 53, first full paragraph to page 56. Oh yeah, we'll be here for a while. All right, why? Guten Tag wondered. Why the difference? What? Wait, hang on. Okay, so we're talking about Magic Flute, and when we say why the difference between Mozart's lyrics and our lyrics today, we're talking about me coughing in the microphone. They're talking about the Magic Flute, and 30s and 40s pop lyrics, and 60s and 70s lyrics, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Why, Guten Tag wondered, quote, why the difference between Mozart's lyrics 2 centuries ago and our lyrics today, unquote. One striking possibility came to mind, quote, are there too many unattached women? Is there actually a shortage of men? If there is, could this possibly explain all these changes, unquote. Guten Tag was on to something, as she and C chord, God, reading, fuck, I think I'm a retard. Guten Tag, C chord is another person. Guten Tag was on to something, as she and C chord would show the national sex ratio for marriage age Americans swung from more men to more women during the decade intervening the 1960 and 1970 census. Again, sex ratio, behavior, behavior, sex ratio. Okay? Listen up, kids. Back then, women typically married men 3 or 4 years their senior, and the post-World War II baby boom meant there were many more women born in 1946, 1947, 1948 than there were men born in 1943, 1944, 1945. On account of this, and on account of the generally rising numbers of births from 1945 through 1957, American women born in this era got caught in what would later be known as the marriage squeeze. A dating market that has been 111 marriage-age men for every 100 marriage-age women. In 1960, evolved into one with 84 men for every 100 women in 1970, according to Guttentag and Sicard. In order to understand the implications of this demographic shift, Guttentag spent years poring through census numbers. She did a thing called research and math. That's patriarchy. But you see, she's obviously not a dumb cunt. Okay? Guttentag spent years. She didn't just type something into Google and believe the first result that came up. No. Guttentag spent years. That's like 12 months is a year. She spent multiple years. Years pouring through census numbers. Ew, math. Sex ratio data. Ew, math. And other historical materials. History is so boring. Dating all the way back to ancient Greece and medieval Europe. Her and Secord's conclusions?
Oh, I wonder what the conclusions might be. Oh, I wonder if we're going to be surprised by this. Oh, right.
In societies in which men outnumber women, the prevailing culture was more likely to emphasize romance and courtship. Men must compete for a wife, and thus they were more willing to make and keep commitments to remain with her. And while women in such societies did tend to play rather stereotypical roles of homemaker and mother, patriarchy, the high ratios of men to women gave women the power to, quote, choose among men for a marriage partner, unquote. Of course it did. Supply and demand. Oh, that's patriarchy. Thus, Guttentag and Sicard concluded, quote, gives women a subjective sense of power and control since they are valued by men as romantic love stories. Love objects, not stories. Randy, hold off on the fucking closing music because I got to finish this out. And then we'll end. Now we're not going too long. The story changed, though, when women outnumber the men, just as it did in the animal kingdom. Because humans are animals, you think? You think? Oh! All right, here we go. When men were the ones in undersupply, women were, quote, more likely to be valued as mere sex objects, unquote, according to Guttentag and Sicard. One upside for everyone was that the quality and variety of sex seemed to improve. Like 15-year-olds having threesomes and anal and ass-to-mouth and all the other things we have going today? Yeah, more women than men means more variety in the sexual practices because all the women are trying to outdo each other. Because remember, women's competition is other women. And if the woman over here is sucking my dick, then this woman over here has to suck my dick and finger my ass. That means the third woman has to let me fuck her in the ass and then suck my dick because they all have to outdo each other. Because that's how the woman brain works, right? This is why women tell other women, oh, you look so cute if you had shorter hair. And oh, you are so thin. You need to eat a sandwich. You need to put on some weight, right? Because they're trying to get other women to become less attractive by cutting off their hair and becoming fatter. Because women compete with other women. Even though they talk all this shit about cooperation and feelings and getting along, it takes a village. No, women hate other women. Because women are other women's competition. Okay. Clinical sex studies observed, quote, a real increase in and diversification of erotic activity, unquote, as 20th century gender ratios began to skew female. They wrote, quote, coital frequency and frequency of intercourse have both increased substantially, as has the length of foreplay, unquote. Supply and demand. More vagina than dick means more hypergamy, more slutty behavior, more cock carousel. All right, there's more in that passage, but we're going to stop here and we will pick it up in part 3. All right. It's just a little-